What's true in general, what could be true in, you know, normal circumstances, might be false if you apply it to a given situation or a particular individual. What's true in general, what's something that is not wrong, it's not a lie, but if you apply it or say it, it could be false to a particular situation or purpose. Another way of saying it is, sometimes we know something that's right or true, and then we give it to somebody, and it actually doesn't help them, even though what we said was true. It's true in some general sense, but in fact, it doesn't fit their situation. So today, in the fourth and fifth chapters of Job, you'll see that Job had some friends who were fairly smart guys. They were pretty smart guys. And these friends of Job were explaining to him what was wrong with his life. Have you ever had anyone like that? I mean, someone who could look at you and say, you know what? You know why you're a loser? I'll tell you why. And then they tell you something which is probably true. It's true. I'll show you in a minute what I mean. But it's probably true. But it isn't true in that particular situation. That's just you depressing someone. Have you ever done? I've done that. I have done that. I know I've done it. I've done it. It's not good. In fact, I don't even like reading this book of Job because the bad guys turn out to sound very similar to me. I've said those very things. Has anybody else ever noticed that? You know, you read what they say, and golly, that sounds pretty good. It sounds like what I think. It's the kind of thing I might say. And you know it's wrong, but you can't figure out what's wrong. It's like, well, what's wrong with that? And so here's Job. He's sitting on a dung heap. He's sitting on an ash pile. And he's got three friends. Thank God for friends. Now, they're good believers. I mean, you know, that believer friends can really help you out. So here he is. He's sitting down on this ash heap. He's got boils all over his body. He's itching, scratching, that pus coming out and everything. And it's really in sorry shape. And they see that he's depressed. And so they have come specifically to give a little help. And they end up depressing him further. Has that ever happened to you? Where, you know, you went to help somebody, but you actually said something that exacerbated an already rotten situation. So Job was there. He was pretty low down. He was pretty, you know, like depressed. He's sitting there like this. And they kept talking to him, and he got lower and lower. You know, it's like, hey, guys, I know you're helping me, but this ain't helping. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, people who are well-meaning, they've come to, you know, to encourage you. They see you're heavy laden. And they notice you're bowed down a little bit. But they have some theology that actually depresses you further and gives you less hope. And it's almost like, you know what? This is your fault. You know, and it's like, that's the last thing I wanted to hear. I don't want to hear that it's always my fault. How many know that's true? Actually, it is your fault. Of course, that's true. But is that the thing to be said? Is that always, you know, couldn't you wait a few minutes, tell a joke or two or something before you get to that point? How many know that there's a way of saying it that can encourage people rather than discourage them? Now I want to sum it up. God, in every page of his book, and in every fiber of his holy being, never would give a word to destroy you. He'd never give a word that would take away your hope, ever. So I don't care what God says, woe unto you, or whatever. It's always said for your good. Are you following me? And everything in the Bible says, I love you. It doesn't say, you know, I've always hated you. And now that you're down a little bit, and I've got you, you know, laying in this bed or, you know, in this corner, I'm going to clop. I've wanted to do this for a long time. Now, that is not God. When you see somebody that's depressed or down, you don't want to go and weigh them down. I have. I have done that. I thought, you know, here's a good opportunity. The guy can't get away. And it's a great moment. I've been wanting to say this for years. And you just lay into them. You don't think it's funny. It isn't funny. But it's funny. Because it's exactly what I've done. You know, I read these guys and I just think, God, I've given that kind of advice. Now, for example, here's an example. Whatever a man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. You can say that in such a way that it's a little discouraging, especially if the guy is reaping in that moment. You know, a little bit of problems happen to him, and you're coming along and saying, you know why this has happened? It's because of you. You know, you've made bad decisions over your life, and I just want to take this opportunity to underline what a failure you've been. And, you know, one series of bad decisions after another. And I'm not trying to depress you or anything. And of course you are. Ever done that? Even if you didn't say it, you're thinking it. And people sense that. When troubles come to them, they sense they're a target for everybody with a theology or a little proverb or something. Well, I'm down right now, so say what you want to say. You know, and people just feel like they're a victim now, not only of the circumstance, but of their friends. When things go wrong, there's always someone there to kick you when you're down. Isn't that amazing? And there's kind of a delight in that. Little kids are like that. Have you ever seen that? One kid will start picking on another kid, and then others will try to join in. And it's like when a guy is down, everybody gets him. You ever seen that? In grade school or something. You're fat. And then other kids would go, yeah. And you know, you'll try to defend yourself, and pretty soon everybody's on you because they love it. They love to get a victim who's halfway down, and on his way down, you don't see what I'm saying. There's a delight in that. And when someone has bad things happen to them, you tend to figure out why. I believe I know why. I'm here to help you. So he was sitting here for 7 days and not saying anything, and everybody could see he was so depressed and he was grieved. He was grieved because he lost all of his children. He lost all of his wealth. Now he lost his health, and his wife was really ticked off at him. So the guy is really depressed, and his three friends come around. Eliphaz the Temanite, that's the guy we want to talk about today. But, you know, Eliphaz is watching him for 7 days, not saying anything. And he knows what's going on. Job thinks he hadn't done anything wrong. I mean, Job, your problem. And he didn't say anything, though, for 7 days. He was just thinking it. Job, look at you. 7 days silent. You know what? When we first came, the thing you said, you started smarting off about, you know, you were bitter at God. Bitter. About being born. You wished you weren't even born. Remember that? Remember we did that a couple weeks ago? I cursed the day I was born. Remember he said that? And it's kind of like, hey, you need some teaching. But have you ever been in trouble and you curse the day you were born? It's like, God, I wish I was never even born. Am I right or what? I mean, sometimes troubles can just kind of mount up. They come one, okay, you can handle it. Two, three, four. And they just come in groups. You ever had that kind of a group attack? It seems like when it rains, it pours. And, you know, one thing goes wrong and another, and it's like, oh, my God, I can handle maybe one, but I just can't handle my, you know, sometimes I'll be troubled during the day, and I'll come home, and I'll tell Peggy. And then she'll go, well, you deserve, you know, and she'll just kind of add right to it. I came home to share with her, Peg, you know, it's really bad today. A lot of people thought I was worthless and so on and so forth and attacked me. And, well, yeah, well, I've been trying to tell you that. You know, and she'll just add right to it. And it's like, man, I came home to my castle to get a little nourishment and a little comfort. And, you know, you and me together will attack the world. And Peg used that as a yes, and they were right. And, you know, so, and you never listen. And everything is happening to you, you deserve it. And it's true. It's accurate. It's true. You know what? It just isn't helpful. It isn't always helpful to say what's true. No, that's a truism. You know, what I need right now is just a little hope. Just, you know, come home for a little bit of, you know, whatever. But she's going to use it as an opportunity to get me where she hadn't been able to get me because I was a little strong prior to that. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So when you kind of stumble a little bit, people take that as an encouraging sign to get you. I was always hoping you'd fall. You know, I remember when Robert Mowry and, you know, we were together for, what, 18 years or whatever it was, 17 years or whatever, a long time. And we would be together a lot. And a lot of people were jealous of that. They hated that a black man and a white man would get along so well and, you know, and so on. And a lot of people were jealous and they hated that. And when we had a little problem, people, they loved it. You know, it's like, good. You guys made me sick all the time, you know. It's like, I thought you were going to, like, oh, that's too bad what happened. You know, but they actually were pretty good. In fact, people were actually helping it to happen. They were trying to drive us apart. I mean, there were people trying to undermine us. Isn't that funny? It's awful. And the funny thing is, though, we still like each other. But we don't work together anymore, so they won. The people there were people that prophesied. You and Pastor Jim won't be together anymore. Thus saith the Lord. And, you know, these were well-meaning people and so on and so forth. But I just thought it was a joke. I thought, there's no way. We're friends forever. That's it. Besides, God told Robert to work with me. See, how can you defeat God? Here we are, not working together. There you have it. So anyway, my point is that you can't count on anything in this world. You can have things going for you well, and all of a sudden one day, things start to fall apart. And at first it's just a little thread hanging off, and you try pulling on it. And pretty soon the whole coat's gone. Have you noticed that? Have you ever seen that? It's just a little thread. And, oh my gosh, what's pretty soon? Whoa! You know, the whole thing's coming unraveled. That can happen to a sweater or whatever. Peg knitted me a sweater once, and here, this thing's loose. That's pretty soon it's gone. Hello? So God is going to teach us something out of this Job book. I like this Job book because it's devastating. It's really devastating. I'm telling you the truth. I really hate reading it. I hate reading it because I cannot figure out what's wrong with what the bad guys are saying. I know they're the bad guys because they get it in the end of the book. I read ahead. They get it in the end of the book. Job gets vindicated and they get punished. But you know, as I'm reading it, I'm going, God, I have said that many times. I don't see what is wrong with that. That is good scripture. I've helped, and I can think of people that I have given the very word to. And it's depressing to me. I mean, I confessed many times that I was reading this fourth and fifth chapter. My God, I've said that. And I believed it with all my heart. Apparently, I said wrong. So, has that ever happened to you? Where you said something to somebody and you were trying to help out, but you actually ended up worsening the situation? Has that ever happened to you? You actually worsened the situation. You were going to help. I've thought many times Peg has done that, actually. It's like, Peg knows what you're saying. Helping me as a helpmate? Is this a helpmate? Aren't you the biggest enemy I've got going? You know, right there, right here. It's reciprocal. She's always pointing that out. See what I mean? Just right there. She could have helped. She could have said. Okay, here's what she could have said. He is correct. And added to it, but instead she's going to undermine, emasculate, destroy her own husband right here in front of the church. Of course she's right. Of course she's right. Of course she's only defending herself. You see, I'm the pastor. What if she preached? You see what I mean? I would not even come. I wouldn't even come. Because she's a vengeful person. Peggy is vengeful. She is vengeful. She's not like I am, kind of a little humor. She has no humor. When she's vengeful, it's mean. And I mean, it's just raw. And, you know, I plead with her, Peg, back down a little bit. She just got shooting guns. Hello? I'm saying all this to encourage you that your situation is difficult. You know, we all live in the real world. Well, in the real world, people meaning well, wanting to do a good thing, actually end up doing the opposite. Isn't that true? You actually intend something good, and then someone will interpret it, construe it completely opposite to what you intended. And if you say something, if you defend it, they'll just attack you all the more. Isn't that amazing? Is that not amazing? Isn't that something like real life? You know, I don't want to talk about myself because it gets too embarrassing. But I have so many examples in my own life. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you intend to do something good, and people interpret it just the opposite. It's like there was a lady that called me up the other night, and she said these words, and I'll try to use the expression that she gave. What good are you? that was, you know, that was hard on the other end of the phone where I was. It was kind of painful. Well, what good are you? What is your purpose? What have you done? You know, I was trying to think of something, and I couldn't. I couldn't think of anything. It's like, that was the wrong thing to say, but it actually sounded pretty accurate. And so she just lit into me and wouldn't quit. She just kept coming. And so as she kept going like that, I said to her, well, I love you. That's all I could say. And it quieted her down. She stopped. But she still wanted to know, what good am I? But at least I loved her, and she thanked me for that. But the truth is, she was in trouble, she was in difficulty, and she didn't want to be taught. She didn't want to be rebuked. She didn't want to be, you know, discouraged. She was already down, and she attacked the one person that was talking to her. That's me. I wasn't against her. I wasn't trying to think of something to teach her. I wasn't doing anything. But she just knew I was going to dump it back on her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she just knew I was going to say, well, praise the Lord. You know, she knew I was going to say that because I do say that a lot. And I don't blame her. That was clever of her to nail me. Hello. But actually, I do love this person. I mean, I didn't have anything to say. And so what do you say when someone says that? What good are you? Has anybody ever said that to you? I mean, that was depressing for several days. I actually was sober for quite a while thinking about that. You know what? What good am I? You know, I mean, I thought about that. It's kind of like, I guess I am a failure. And that if one other person had called me, I'd have been in bed. I wouldn't have gotten up. Hello? But praise God, I think I also went down to Austin this week. Wasn't it this week? And I was the pastor for the day. And they thought I was good. I was good in their eyes. So that kind of lifted me up a little bit. That I said a prayer that made it, and nobody criticized it afterward. Six or seven people said thank you and so on. So I felt a lot better. But that I remembered that lady's comment. What good are you? You know, what is all this theology? Where's the reality of it? You know, and it's, people get mad sometimes. They're mad at God, but sometimes they take it out on people that love them. Hello? Sometimes we don't take it out on people that are some stranger or some enemy. We take it out on people close to us. Have you ever noticed that? That people will say something like, hey, come on, I'm on your side. And they're attacking you because you didn't come through. Is that common to other people have had that? I've had that where I don't, in my heart, my conscience is clean. I don't think I did wrong. I don't think I have a wrong thought or a deed or something. But they're attacking because they want to attack somebody. And you're the only person that will stand there, so you get beat up. And it's like, it's not even true. It's not true. What you just said isn't true. What you just thought isn't true. Has that ever happened to anybody here? And you know, it's like, you misunderstand. And they don't want to hear it. You're the one they want to get because you're the only one that loves them enough to stay there and listen. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? That's funny. Here's the, and kids sometimes will attack their own parent. You ever notice that? Attack their own parent. And the parent's the one that, carries them places and feeds them, clothes them, and all this stuff. And yet a child will come and say, "You've never," and they'll say something and just lacerate you. Right? I mean, it's like, "Why, you ungrateful child." I mean, who has cared for you like I have? And you're just, there's no point in responding because in that moment, they're not teachable. In their moment, Peggy, that's happened to Peggy, and I've watched that. Sometimes they'll say something like, something vicious they'll say to her, and then she'll defend herself. And I can just tell there's no communication there. Peggy, I don't think you're reaching. You're not reaching your daughter. I don't know why the girls compete with Peggy. And David doesn't. But I think that's because she spoiled him. I don't know. Sometimes, have you noticed this, that mothers sometimes will spoil the boy? Does anybody notice that? I don't know why that is. And then the mother is kind of like in competition with the girls, and they should be thankful and following her and taking her advice and stuff. And they just feel like, "Mom, you're on my case all the time. Back off." Has anybody seen that besides me? It's kind of like, your girl should be thankful. Mom's, carrying you to baseball or whatever the thing is. What do they play? Volleyball, all that stuff. I mean, Peg was always taking them swimming and everything. I was just a wonderful mother. Hello. Did you know Peg was a good mother? She's a very good mother. She's a very good mother. But the girls didn't always see that. Sometimes they would have, yell at her. One time she called up and she said, "Kirsten, I don't know how'd you say it, Mom. Just convenient. Convenient." No, she was saying something about the fact that Dad isn't always a good person, but She, Peggy said, "I know you always thought I was a nice person and your father not so." But Kirsten said, "No way." Thought that was great. That was great. I just rose up by 10 feet right there. I agreed. I thought I was the no good one too. But here Kurt said, "No, living with you was hell. It was hard. You were always on us, constantly. Dad was, a piece of cake." I love it. I wish we'd had a recording of that. Now, Job's friends see him in trouble. The first thought that comes when you're in trouble is this. First thought, God is punishing you. You've done some evil thing, God has found it out, and now you've been getting away with murder, but you're caught and you deserve this. Now, why don't you just confess your rottenness, your phoniness, your wickedness, and get it over with? That was, remember, that was Mrs. Job. Mrs. Job had that. Curse God and die. Get this thing over with, for gosh sake. I love Mrs. Job. She is so, you don't have to guess where she stands. Curse God and die. Get it over with. My God, we've lost all our family, all of our wealth, reputation, everything. You're sick as a dog. I don't even want you in the house. Get out. And get this thing over with. Just curse God and die. Get it over with. But Job wouldn't do it. Remember how pious Job was? Remember how pious he was? How religious he was? "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But the Lord is good." So on over there. Yes, pious stuff. I mean, when you're in trouble, you don't have that view. But Job was a perfect man. He was religious. He was a wonderful person. He had integrity. would have made a good mason, you know, a Shriner. It was a noble kind of a guy. He had integrity. And his wife just cut right through that. Cut that baloney out. Just curse God and get this thing over with. I don't even want to live any longer. And, you know, just get it over with. Well, Job wouldn't do it. So his friends are sitting there. They're watching him for 7 days, morose, heavy, laden. He lost all his relationships, all of his health, all of his wealth. He has nothing, no future, no hope. It's over. And he got three friends now come and they sit opposite him. They don't want to get close to him and get, it's contagious. They don't want to get too close. But they're sitting watching him and they're crying, he's crying, he's depressed, they're depressed. But they've come to comfort him. So here's what Eliphaz says. Eliphaz the Temanite, first pal, first friend. A guy that's known him for life, you know, just a really good friend. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we think to commune with you, to have some kind of conversation with you, to talk with you, will you be grieved? In other words, can we say something? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Now, that is not, listen carefully now, this is not the same thing as saying, the Lord told me to say. Do you notice the difference? This is not, you know, thus saith the Lord. This is just a guy saying, God, we're looking at you, sitting here for 7 days. You're depressed as all get out. You used to be the big shot and so on and so forth. Could we say something without grieving you? Are you going to get upset if I say something? Have you ever had people like that are so sensitive like that, that if you say anything, they're going to take it wrong? So, you know, this Eliphaz, the Temanite, he just asks him that. Can we say something here? Now, you would think with a beginning like that, that this thing might not end up too good. Behold, you have instructed others, and you have strengthened weak hands. In other words, you have a reputation for being helpful. Your words have upholden him that was falling. You know, you've many times strengthened people that were in trouble, and you have strengthened feeble knees, people that were just falling apart, but you've given a good word. Now it's come upon you. In other words, now, Pastor Jim, it's your turn. Some of the people have said that. In fact, that lady said that. She said, I wish that the stuff that's happening to me would happen to you. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Wow, I mean, it's like, she wanted something bad to happen to me so that I would be more, you understand what I'm saying? So I said to her, well, you don't know my life. You don't know anything about me. Well, what she was saying was, you're such a hot Christian. You're so uppity, uppity, and so on. So because everything's always going your way because you love Jesus and so on. Well, look at me right now. You don't have anything to say. You can't say anything. And so she was attacking me. And that was a good move to make. That was good. That was getting it off her. She had all this stuff kind of built up. Now, I knew right away she's probably not in a good mood. I knew that. This lady's not in a good mood because something terrible has happened, and she has to get somebody. And so she called me up, knowing I wouldn't have anything to say good, you know, except some Jesus stuff or something. And she just was in no mood to be taught or anything. And so she just started, you know, attacking, and she took it out on the right person. It was good. It was good. I was glad she called. I was glad she called. So she attacked me. It's good. It's like Jesus. You can attack him. That's how you get God the Father. He's up in heaven, won't come down, getting the everyday deals, and now it came down, just got him, killed him. But here's the deal. But now it's come on you. It's your turn. And look how faint you are. It touches you, and you're troubled. I tell you, people delight in that. When that happens to you, when things are going well, and all of a sudden things fall apart, people actually rejoice. Anybody? Are you with me? There are certain people that are so, they're getting away with murder. I mean, just everything's going their way. And you secretly, I mean, you don't say this as a good Christian, but you're secretly thinking, I wish something bad would happen to you. My life stinks, but you, everything goes your way. And I wish something awful would happen to you. It's not a good thought, but we've had that. Has anybody here ever had that? You're lying. Everybody has that kind of thought. I hate it that you seem to be favored. I hate that. I wish something terrible would happen to you. And you know, you don't say it because it's awful to say. But it's something you're thinking. You know, I've lived my life and things stink. And they just go from one stink thing to another. But you worship God. And you to do well, you know, your health is good. And you're 66 and you're still not sick. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. And little do you know, my body is just about, it's just a hairbreadth away from falling apart. But, you know, yes, I'm still laughing and so on and so forth. But I don't know when my teeth are going to go. I don't know, you know, when the plumbing is just going to come unglued. And I just don't know. I'm trying to eat, you know, muesli and stuff like this. It's probably too late. Cut down on the fats and the salts and the sugars and stuff like that, you know. Because, you know, things could go at any time. But, you know, but some people resent the fact that you're, you know, if they're 57 and already awful things have happened, they resent a 66 and, you know, Joe, you're still going. Yeah. And, you know, 90s. And Leslie Ann, you know, she's still going. Sleeping now, but still going. She's resting. This is a house of rest. I can say anything I want right now. Oh, what a blessing. God is good. Don't you think people are funny? Yeah, people are funny. But God did not intend for Job to go through all of this, but he gave the devil permission. Remember this? So maybe God is punishing Job for a secret sin. That's what Eliphaz thinks. God, you know why this has happened to you? Because God is pointing something out that you don't want to admit. You don't want to look at. You don't even know about it. Okay, but you know what? You deserve this. I'll tell you, that's Eliphaz. He's good. He's good. He's got Job right in a box. And what can Job say? Look at his life. Look at everything that's happened to him. But now it's come upon you, and you faint. You know, you're weak. It touches you, and you're troubled. Isn't this your fear? That your confidence and your hope and your uprightness of your ways didn't work? Remember, I pray you, whoever perished being innocent, and where are the righteous that are cut off? You know, if you're a righteous person, if you're really under God, then how come all these problems are happening to you? It's a great question. So Job is totally depressed, and he is. He lost everything now. He was God's favorite guy, and now all of a sudden, bad things have happened suddenly, just quickly. And it's almost like this guy said, you know, I know why it is. Thank God I'm here because I'm going to help you out. What's happened to you is you're finally getting caught. You instructed others. You've been the big Christian super Jew guy. But now you're getting it, and you hate being weak. You always talk so big about other people, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But now look at you, praise the Lord. And he wouldn't do it. You know, Job wasn't praising. He was totally silent. He was totally depressed. He was thinking on it. God, is it a sin? Maybe so. I don't know if it is. If it is, I don't know about it. How many sometimes you know you could be guilty, but you actually don't feel like you are? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, hey, I've done 1,000 things. It could be any one of them. But I don't really think that's what this is about. But Eliphaz thought it was. Job, all you got to do, buddy, confess. Just get before God like the rest of us. Get down here on our level. Just confess. This is your sin. You know it. You know it. You, the one that taught others. Now, take it yourself. Couldn't do it. Job was just, that didn't help Job. He was just sitting there totally depressed. He was totally discouraged to even lift his voice. Couldn't think it out. He couldn't figure out. God, what are you doing? And that's why he said, I cursed the day I was born. I wish I was never born. Job was not happy. I don't think he had a praise the Lord attitude. He was kind of down. That could happen to me. There are certain things that could happen that I believe could just decimate me. I mean, we're all alike, aren't we? I mean, there are certain things that happen, especially if two or three of them would happen all at once, you'd be devastated. I don't know if I'd be here preaching. I don't know if I'd be, you know, happy. I could be totally distraught, destroyed, especially physical, especially relational, especially financial. If you suddenly lose everything, you don't have any props. You don't have anything lifting you up. And especially if your friends came and then, you know, tried to teach you. It would be awful. Hello. So I don't read this book. Do not read this book. Remember, I pray you, whoever perished without, you know, if they were innocent. You know, you're not innocent. That's why this is all happening. Would God punish a righteous person? I mean, if you're righteous, doesn't God protect you? Doesn't he prosper you? Aren't there scriptures on that? I mean, when have you ever seen the wicked prospering and then God didn't get them? And when have you ever seen the righteous hurt and God didn't deliver them? Look at you. So he's got him. He's got him because Job is going, wow, this is not just a 5-minute thing or a 2-day thing or whatever. I've been here for a long time. And Job is really grieved. He's deeply troubled, afflicted. He can't, I mean, just the scratching alone of those boils. He's just scraping with those little potsherd things. And they can see him agonizing. And they can see, you know, Job, look, God wouldn't do this to you if you were righteous. You were righteous before, but you had a secret sin, didn't you? Just say it. Get it out, buddy. Come on, we're here to help. I've done that. I mean, that just occurs. Does that occur to anybody here? If you see somebody like that, that you know was a man of God, but now all of a sudden things have turned way against them, and it's not changing. They're not bouncing back. They're not coming back. It just occurs. Okay, I know what this is. It's punishment. God hates sin. You've got it. You won't confess it. So just admit it. God is punishing you. Now, another angle on this is not that God is punishing your sins, but maybe he's just chastening you. Not punishing you to destroy you because you were wicked, but chastening you for your good. He's just trying to perfect you because you're immature. It's not that you're wicked, it's that you're actually just immature. And so he's using it to correct you and instruct you, and you won't listen. So there's two good thoughts right there. There's two good teachings right there. You know, he's punishing you because you won't confess your sins, or he's chasing you because you won't be instructed. There it is right there. Those are two good thoughts. Is everybody following me? I could dwell on this for a long time. You see that? Punishment or chastisement? Now, punishing is you were bad, so he's getting you because you had hidden sin. Chastisement is he still loves you, but you're not listening and you're not being instructed, so, you know, try to cooperate with God here. You know, look at you. You don't even look like you're happy about this. Isn't this your fear that your confidence and your hope and the uprightness of your ways won't hold you? Remember, I pray you, whoever perished if they were righteous and innocent. And where were the righteous ever cut off by God? God can't do that. You know that. He's a just God. He's after you, Job. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness, they reap the same. Ah, there he nailed him. He got him right there. You have plowed iniquity. You know, all this trouble, all this suffering you're going through, it just proves you're not righteous. This suffering that's on you right now, there is an explanation for it. It's not just like a mystery. No. You reaped, and now you're sowing. Man, if I get in a car accident or something like that, first thing I think of, uh-oh, I wish that I read my Bible this morning. It is like, this is going to be a bad day. I thought I'd spend a little more time with Jesus. I should have given a little better advice over there. I just feel God's going to get me now because I didn't pay attention to everything. I didn't cross every T and dot every I. God's got me again. I am such a sloppy type Christian. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm sloppy. It's too easy to hit me. It's like fishing in an aquarium or something. You know, Jim, I got you. You know, it's just too easy. Or it's like shooting on I'm not a hunter or anything, but one time they took me hunting and they had all of the things that you were supposed to shoot kind of sitting there. They planted them ahead of time. And you could just walk up on them and you just shoot. You hit them because they're right there, and they hide them right there. They actually teach them how to not move. I don't know how they do it. But you could actually just shoot them. They're just sitting right there and you just shoot them. You feel like you're a hunter. And they knew I didn't know how to shoot. So, you know, I would just see a bird just shoot up in the air like that. The bird scared me, you know, but they had him just sitting there. Hey, it's not moving. Well, go ahead and shoot. Well, I can't. He's just not moving. There's your bird right there. All right. Felt bad. Well, that's the way for God to get me. It'd be too easy. I'm just too easy to get. Is anybody else like me? Norman? Anyone else? 3, 4. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. With every eye bowed. It's good. It's good. I'm in the right place. So Job, either you're being punished by God for a sin, or he's chastening you to instruct you, and you just won't accept the instruction. You won't be corrected. You're incorrigible. By the blast of God, the wicked perish. And by the breath of his nostrils, they are consumed. In other words, come on, Job, quick. God's about to blast you. You thought, you know, you haven't lost your life yet. You've lost your family, your friends. You've lost everything except one thing. Why don't you learn? Why don't you listen? Why don't you pay attention? Don't you get it? The roaring of the lion, the voice of the fierce lion, the teeth of the young lions, they are broken. And the old lion perishes for lack of prey. And the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. All this lion talk. It's all about the fact that the lion, you know, is a fierce kind of predator, an animal like that. And here's the deal. If you do wrong, sooner or later you get caught. And so just like that lion, you know, he can get stuff for a while, but then after a while his teeth fall out and all that stuff, and he's not able to do much. Now a thing was secretly brought to me. Now here's Eliphaz saying this. Now, Job, listen to me. I'm not just saying this. Actually, God showed it to me. A thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little bit of it. In a thought from a vision in the night, when deep sleep was on every man, fear came upon me. Trembling, it made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. Stood still, but I could not discern the form of it. An image was before my eyes, and there was silence, and I heard a voice saying, and this, see, this, what he's doing is saying, Job, I know what I'm talking about. I had an experience the other night. It's about you. Here it is. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? So what he's saying is, Job, stop standing on your goodness, your righteousness, the fact that you're a believer, a Christian, you know, that you're loved of God. Stop it. God's getting you. All this is happening to you because you're no good. This is judgment falling upon you righteously. And he's saying, I saw this thing in the night. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, this is about Job. I've had that. I have done that. My gosh, I've done that. I've not only had a thought to help you out, but I had God helping me. Y'all don't see the power of this. So he said, you know, Job, look, I'm telling you, I have a real authority here. God himself, God the Almighty, spoke to me in the middle of the night. I believe now it's about you. And he had this guy, Job, listening to all this stuff. These are friends. Remember, these are friends. These are close friends. This is not like an enemy. This is a friend. Good Christian brother coming up. Lord, the Lord has been speaking to me about, you know, about you. And I had a vision the other night, and my hair stood up, and so on and so forth. And you better listen. You know, and so Job is not taking, he's not buying it. He's not going to buy it. It's his best friend. Now he's lost his wealth, his health. his relationships, his wife's ticked off at him, and now his friends come, and he doesn't want to listen to them either. What kind of man are you, Job, that you would still think you're a godly man? Give it up. God's after you. I don't think I could take it. If I just lost my family, I'm sure I'd quit right there. If I just lost my family, if I lost Peg, if I lost the kids, I don't know if I'd hate God, but I just want to quit. I'd just give it up. It's like, what's life worth now? I wish I weren't even born. What's the point? What's the point? How can you ever laugh again? How can you ever hope again? How can you ever live after this? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Or then if you lose all your wealth, you know, it's easy to say, well, get it back again. Well, that's not so easy. Not when you're over 50 or something. It's not easy to recover and start all over again. Maybe you've been sent to prison and you try to get out and you can't. It's depressing. It can be terrible. I don't know if I could survive. All the glib talk I've given to people. Don't worry about it. Praise the Lord. You know, all things work together for the good and so on and so forth. But I don't know if I got in that situation, what would I think? Now what are you going to do? I don't know. I guess I just give up. I'm sure I'd just sit there in silence for days looking at the wall. And I'd remember all my scriptures and they'd just mock me. Jim, get up and rejoice. I can't. I just can't. Come on, you remember all the good sermons you've given. Peg would probably be at the door with sermons. Jim, listen to this one right here about joy unspeakable. Get that out of my presence. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to think about that. I hate that person who said that. It's you. You preach this, you know. And you know, I know she'd do it. I know she'd do it. One time I was sick. I was really sick. And I just could hardly you know, it's like that. And Peg came in and said, "What's wrong, sweetie?" Just go away. So, "Would you like me to get you a milkshake?" She's just mocking me. She's mocking me. She said, "I don't want to eat anything." Do you think this is a good wife? Well, she wasn't my wife at that point. I should have taken the cue right there. I'm a fool. I'm a fool. So, now there's some other ideas here that are coming up. Should a mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Are you going to justify yourself? Are you going to say this is all happening because it has nothing to do with what you've done? Are you going to pretend like you're righteous and holy and God is for you and you're the righteous of Christ? Look with your life. Look what you're doing. Confess your sin, brother, sister. Behold, he put no trust in his own servants, and in his angels he charged with folly. Do you remember one third of the angels fell? Now here's what this guy is saying to him. Job, think of it. You're just a mortal man. But even the angels that are God's servants, they were foolish too. Don't you think you are? He had to get rid of a third of them. Aren't you one of those? Well, that was hard for Job. That was hard for Job to hang on to his integrity, to hang on to his righteousness, to hang on to his hope, to just keep breathing, to keep smiling. I tell you, when things go wrong, you can't smile. That's why a lot of people, when they get in trouble, they don't call. Because they know I'm going to say something like, "Well, praise the Lord. You know, all things work together for the good." They know I'm going to give some cheap scripture that works for me because everything goes my way. But it doesn't work for them in their situation. It's true, but it's not true in this particular case. It just weighs them down. When you try to give hope for someone that's totally just, they don't know what the problem is, and you got some simple answer. "Hey, I know what your problem is. God spoke to me the other night." You know, it's like, "I hate you. Get out. Get away. I don't want to hear comfort like that. That's not helping me. I'm grieving. I'm hurt. I'm beat down." And here you are with, "Just praise God, just give the glory to God." It's sickening. I have done it. I really have. Forgive me if you called me and I did that to you. And I did it. Those are my best messages too. Those are very good messages. Hello? Would you forgive me? Do you forgive me for doing that? Something wicked is going to happen to that. You reap and you sow. So God God is trying to instruct us, to teach us, to show us something, but it's not what this Temanite is telling him. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. Call now to see if there be any that will answer you, Job, and which of the saints, the Kedoshim, will you turn to? For wrath kills the foolish man, and envy slays the silly one. What he's saying is, Job, this is you. You're foolish, and you're a silly person, and wrath is eating you up because you won't give up your Jesus faith and your righteousness consciousness. I've seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there anyone to deliver them. In other words, the wicked have no hope. Job, you must be wicked. Whose harvest? Job had big crops and all kinds of cattle and camels and everything. The hungry have eaten up. They've devoured it. They've taken it even out of the thorns, and the robber has swallowed up all their substance. Although affliction comes not forth from the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. A man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. You know, if you've seen a fire and sparks just fly up. That's you, Job. I would seek unto God. If I were you, Job, I would seek unto God. I'd commit my cause to God. Go ahead, Job. Confess your sin. It's all happening to you because you're no good. You've done wrong. God will do marvelous things with you. He will do unsearchable things. He's the one that gives the rain to the earth. He sends waters upon the field. Job, have a better picture of God. See, Job isn't listening to any of this, not buying a word of it. When you've been troubled, you can think, okay, my troubles have come because I sowed wickedly, and now this has come upon me. Job refused to do that. No, I don't believe it. I don't believe that these troubles have come because I'm wicked. I don't believe they're coming because he's teaching me something, correcting me. I don't believe either of those things. I don't know why. I don't have an answer. Listen to me carefully. We don't always have answers to why people are going through what they're going through. It's simple theology that says, ah, this is happening because you're not righteous. That may not be true. That could be true, but it may not be true. It could be true in general, but it may not be true in particular. Do you see? You can't just give a word. You got to make sure it's God. It just might be you thinking, huh. And this guy may have been jealous of Job. After all, he was the richest man of the East. He was the most famous. He was a very spiritual. He was the most perfect man on the earth. I tell you, people are jealous of you when things go well. If I had a church of 10,000, people would really hate me. I mean, they'd be popular, but you know, people that have churches of 10,000, I hate them. So I'll just tell you, I know they would do the same. I'll practice even going by a church. Cursed be this church. You know, like this, you know. Ah, I wish I had those people in my church. You know, this is not exactly true, but it has occurred to me from time to time. So, you know, what do people think when you're doing well? And then what do they think when you're doing poorly? I'm telling you, this is amazing. Is this not a good book? It's a good book. It's bringing out some stuff that we might not want to look at normally. That's why it's buried in the Bible. I don't think anybody's ever found this book. To set up on high those that be low. That's the kind of God we have. If you would just get humble, he'd set you up. That those who mourn may be exalted to safety. You know, come on, Job. Just mourn over your sinfulness. He disappointed the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. You see, you are crafty and devious, and now God has found you out. So come on, just admit it. Just bring it out. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward, the arrogant, the proud, it's carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and they grope in the noonday as though it were night. But he saves the poor from the sword, from the mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. Job, just admit it. Just get down on the bottom. Humble yourself. So the poor have hope. and iniquity stops her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, despise not you the chastening of the Almighty. So that's number two. He's got Job figured out. Job, look, all these troubles will go away as soon as you say you're sorry. Come on, come on, come on. Just quickly say it. Just be corrected here. Be instructed. Be taught. You're just unteachable. You are incorrigible. You're just unteachable. You're unteachable. You just think you know everything. Come on. We know something too, you know. Now, we can see by all of the stuff you're undergoing, all the affliction you're under. We can see this affliction. It's telling us something. You're not the big man you say you are. I know why this is happening. God's after you. Oh, that is such a temptation. Have you ever done that to your parent, to your child, to a husband, to a wife, to a friend, to a fellow church member? It's easy to do. For he maketh sore, and he bindeth up. He's the one that wounds, and his hands make whole. I tell you, this is good theology. I don't see through this. This is very good. He shall deliver you in six troubles, but in seven no evil shall touch you. In other words, you could have problems, but won't the Lord deliver you eventually? In famine, he will redeem you from death, and in war, from the power of the sword. If you really were righteous, then God would take this off of you, but he's not. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shall you be afraid of destruction when it comes. See, look at you now. You look like you don't know what's going on. At destruction and famine you shall laugh, neither shall you be afraid of the beasts of the earth. If you were really righteous, if you were truly a man of God, you wouldn't be silent like you are. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field would be at peace with you if you were righteous. And you shall know that your house would be in peace, and you shall visit your habitation and sin not. Thou shalt know also that your seed, your children, will be great. Where are yours? And your offspring is the grass of the earth. Yours are gone. Don't you think God is speaking to you, brother? Thou shalt come to your grave in full age. As it is now, you're going to go early. Like as a shock of corn cometh in its season, lo, we have searched this out. Listen to us. Hear it and know this is for your good. Well, up at this point, Job didn't say anything. He's just listening. I'm telling you, he's devastated. You know why? The very things he's been thinking himself. This guy just articulated it so clearly. Job, I know these are the reasons right here. It's either one or the other. Either God's getting you for some sin that you've hidden and you haven't told anybody. We're here to help you, brother. All you got to do is confess your sin. Have you ever had anyone tell you that? I have. Pastor Jim, you know, you're a big talker. You always sing all these scriptures and stuff. But you might have a secret sin, a hidden sin. Go ahead, share it with me. You know, I won't hurt you or anything. You don't think that's funny. I tell you, that is amazing. People want to, they just believe that because they have sins, they just believe you probably got one hidden away. You're not the big Jesus talk person that you pretend to be. You're a real person just like me. You ever thought that, Joyce? You ever thought that? John, has that ever occurred to you? No. Praise God. I'll keep you, John. You know, it just comes to you. Is, you know, you can talk so pastory and so easy because you haven't had anything happen to you. But let it happen to you and then see. Then we'll talk to you. It's very powerful. These are powerful teachings. Very powerful. God is not explaining himself. If he wanted to explain himself, he would say so. Maybe he's using this Eliphaz, the Temanite. Not so. Not so. Everything that the man has said sounds right. It's wrong. It's not true. You know, there are some things that happen to you that you cannot explain. It's not to teach you something. It's not to punish you for something. He just hasn't told you yet what it is. And it isn't because you're a wicked person. It isn't because you're a sinner and you've hidden it. It isn't because you're unteachable and, you know, if you just humble yourself, he'd teach you. You know what? There can be other reasons. For example, why did Jesus suffer? Was he wicked? Was God punishing him? And yet he died at 33. Not only did he die, but all of his friends had to leave him. And he lost all his relationships. Not only that, but his body was racked with pain. So he lost his wealth and his health and his friends and everything. He lost everything. He stood alone. Even God turned his back on him. And it looked, surely, he couldn't have been a righteous man. Look. Look how he ended. What an awful testimony of a man that I thought he was a good man. But if God abandoned him, why didn't God save him at the last minute? You remember even the Jewish guy said that to him. He pointed at him. If you're the Son of God, why don't he save you right now? Come down and then we'll believe in you. Remember, if I were God, I would have done it. I would have showed that guy. I'd have had Jesus just pop those nails, then just hop right down. I'd have had all those Jews. Boy, I got them. And that's probably in the flesh. It's probably in the flesh on my part. But that's what I'd have done. God missed a big opportunity there. Because even the Jewish guy said it. Come down and then we'll believe in you. You think that's true? No. That's just the nastiness of flesh. This is how devious we can be. Even as Christians. However, it doesn't mean you're not righteous. The righteous suffer. What if God wanted to use you as a trustee? And he said, my servant over here is sick. And even though you're not sick, I want you to go and I want you to do whatever you have to do, even lose your life if necessary, sacrifice for this person to love that person who's in trouble. And maybe get hurt in the process. Couldn't God then say the man was righteous who undertook to go into the mission field or to visit Israel in her time of trouble or to suffer something even though the person was righteous because they were a trustee of God? So it could be there's a third thing up here, namely that because you are righteous, you're suffering because of the sin of others. And so now the suffering has meaning because the meaning is that someone else has sinned and you're sacrificing as a good steward. You're sacrificing your own pleasure, your own health, your own wealth. You're giving up all things out of love. Maybe love in this world suffers. How many know that's true? If you love someone in this world, you actually can suffer. As a matter of fact, I'll say it stronger. Everyone who loves suffers. If I am to love you, it's going to cost me. If I'm to love you, I have to bear who knows what. I might lose my health over it. I might lose wealth over it. All of it, some of it. I might lose relationships because of it. How many know this is too much, but a good steward would accept it? And so maybe you're suffering because you're a lover, not because you're a wicked person. Maybe you're suffering like Jesus did, because he saw mankind was in trouble and he came down to help him and then he got in trouble. But not because he was wicked, not because God was teaching him anything, but a third reason. Now, I'm going to come up with a fourth reason. What if the reason why you're suffering is not one, two, or three, even though three may be true also? What if God is not explaining to you why he's using you to fulfill his own purpose and defeat the enemy? And he didn't explain that to you. In other words, Job, you're my righteous man on earth. You're my righteous woman. And I'm just, if you'll just trust me and don't become discouraged now, don't become, because here you're willing to do this. The meaning is this, that I'm willing to sacrifice. I want to do it. I understand what I'm doing and I accept it. But what if I don't understand? I don't understand. I don't even know what's going on. But God is working out some secret purpose of his to defeat the enemy, even though I don't know what it is. To defeat the enemy and bring about his own purpose. Defeat the enemy and bring about his own purpose on earth. Bring about a higher good. Bring about God's purpose. God's kingdom. Now, how many know that you can suffer kingdom? you can suffer for this last one without any willingness. In other words, you're not against it, but you didn't even know what it was. You didn't know why you were going through what you were going through. But God was using it, and you just simply trust him. And you say, God, I have no idea. I don't think it's because of this. I don't think it's because of this. And surely I didn't agree to this because I don't even know about it, and you didn't tell me about it. But I'm not going to give up. I just don't understand. But you're working out some purpose, and I'm not going to give up hope. But the people around me are telling me it's something else. They think it's number one or number two. But what if it's not one or two? And what if it's certainly not three, because I don't know about it? I'm not willing to do this. Any mother will sacrifice for her child because she loves the child. She'll get up and get almost no sleep day after day, week after week, month after month. It always amazes me how women can do that and function. I couldn't do it. I'm so glad that I didn't have a baby, because I couldn't have done it. Beg, how can you get up? I don't know how she gets up. Just can imagine. When I hear the baby crying, I don't hear it. You know, what baby? You know, I just don't hear it. But I can hear her snoring. That I can hear. But I can't hear the baby crying. For some reason, I shut that out or something. I don't know. She says it's deliberate. I just think men can't hear. Is there any other men in the church like I am? Just oblivious to. But Peggy could hear it if it rolled over in the crib. She could hear the rollover. I couldn't hear anything. Jim, you want to get up? No. I don't want to take your job. I want to do what I've been called to do. I'll pray, though. How's this new baby? Perfect. How old is the baby now? 1 month. Wow. You getting a lot of sleep? Yeah. Right. You'll be hated. You'll be hated by the others if you don't. I tell you, it's amazing to me, though, how they have to get up at all hours and every few hours and so on. You know, why don't they have a 8-hour milking time? I don't get it, you know. I mean, God, I don't know what to think. He knows what he's doing. And the baby doesn't know it's day or night, you know. It needs a clock. It needs to understand those things. So it's amazing to me how, you know, I sometimes don't understand. I just know I'm not going to curse God. I'm going to keep praising God, even though I don't understand. I believe that's what's happening here. I don't believe Job sinned. I don't believe that Job, you know, was being taught something. They couldn't get it. I don't believe that his friends should be trying to, convict him or instruct him. I don't believe he was a lover that accepted some job and couldn't undertake it, and now his sacrifice called upon him. I don't think it was any of those. I think God had some special purpose in mind that he hadn't explained to his servant, because he knew his servant would praise him and trust him anyway. It's hard to do that. It's not easy to do that. It's hard because you don't have a clue. God didn't tell you. He didn't instruct you. He didn't say, hey, let me give you a warning here. I'm about to do something. Hang on tight. He doesn't do that. It just comes suddenly on you, and you don't know where it hits you. Everyone is telling you what they think it is, and you're resisting. No. Uh-uh. I don't know why it's happening. I just think God is good. I don't think anything bad is happening here. I can't explain it. I don't have anything to say to anybody. I can't give a teaching. I can't defend myself. I can't explain it. That's Job. Now, next week, we'll see what Job actually says with the saying of his mouth. How will he defend God? How will he attack them or defend himself from them? Not going to, because he doesn't understand. But I'll tell you one thing he won't say. God did this to hurt me, to injure me. God is not good. He's not powerful. He's not real. He wouldn't say that. He believed that somehow everything is going to work out for the good of them that love the Lord. Do you all believe that? somehow I don't always get it. I don't always see what's going on. It may be my sin. It may be that he's trying to instruct me. It may be that, you know, I accepted some willing job to sacrifice and I'm not wanting to do it now. It may be, but I don't have to have an answer. All I have is a God that loves me, and I know it, and I'm not going to give up. Boy, if you could get a hold of this, it'd be powerful. Because these other first three all make sense, but the fourth one doesn't make any sense. And yet, you have to endure sometimes without understanding. You have to go through something without, God, how's this fit in with, you know, have you ever read the Bible and thought, I think I got it. I think in 1996, Jesus is coming back. You know, you add it all up and you got your theology pretty well identified. And 1996 comes and Jesus doesn't return. I really thought he was coming. I was certain of it. Well, not certain of it, but my mathematics was certain of it. You know, I'd added up the numbers. Let's see. Adam was born and, you know, and so I had it all worked out. So I was ready. I had my bullets, my beans, and my Bibles, my batteries. I had all that stuff ready, you know, for the return of the Lord and the Antichrist coming. I was ready. And when it didn't happen, I was pretty disappointed. I was really disappointed. Because what do you do with those beans and those batteries? Because if you use them, you'll need to get some more. Because you are off. You know, you don't know how far you are off. So I gave up thinking of dates, except that it could be this year in the fall, that the earliest date I can come up with now. No, I don't trust myself anymore with anything. I don't even care about calendars and dates now. I hate them. Because I tried to figure God out. Did you all try to do it? Y2K was another thing. I still have camping equipment and you know, beans in the attic. And we have got, you know, 30 buckets of something up there, corn and grain and, you know, to prepare for a bad day. Isn't that funny? Those guys made a killing on me. It was great. And that piece of property we bought up in the woods, you know, you have to get outside the city by at least 50 miles. And I talked a lot of people into doing the same thing. I did. Sorry. I'll buy back the batteries. God is good. He doesn't always explain himself. How many know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? All things work together for the good. Look, God is good. Don't think that God is holy to hurt you or merciful just, you know, because you're no good and he's being merciful to you. No, it could be that God's powerful and he's going to do what he originally intended. Do you see that? Do you see that? His holiness does number one and two. His mercy does number three. But his power does number four. It could be the power of God to execute his own purpose on earth without explanation to you, because he knows you are ready to not only believe he's holy, to condemn if he needs to, that he's merciful to forgive if he needs to, and of course he does, and that he's powerful to bring forth all his good purposes, and all his purposes are good. I don't believe God has a bad purpose for people. Even the wicked, number one and two, can be forgiven. Even if you're not a lover and you're not willing to sacrifice and you're still immature and you haven't grown, it's okay. He's a good God. I believe God is going to save Israel. That's what this message is all about. It's not about us at all. It's really about Israel. I believe that God sees Israel, sees all her sin, number one, should punish her. Number two, she's not teachable. I believe he sees that clearly. Number three, she's taken on a burden to you know, sacrifice and so on and so forth. I don't believe any of that counts at all. I don't believe that's had anything to do with what God is doing today for Israel. I believe it's number four. I believe Job is Israel. I believe that God is not telling the world what he's up to, because I've tried to figure it out. I believe God just loves the people of Israel. They're wicked today. I don't know how on earth he could like them. They're wicked. I could go and instruct them and rebuke them. But God is saying, shut up. Don't speak. Don't be like Eliphaz the Temanite. Be quiet. It's not their sin. Of course God hates sin. That's true. But in this particular case, that's not the issue. I believe God is merciful. And of course God is merciful. And he needs to show mercy to Israel. I don't think that's the issue. I don't believe it has to do with anything instructing them because they're stubborn and so on and so forth. I believe what the issue is that God loves Israel. And he hasn't explained to them everything. It's all written down, but they can't figure it. They can't see. But I believe the blindness is going to come off and Israel is going to be delivered just as Job was. She's hanging on to her integrity today. She knows she's sinned, so she can't say we're perfect and innocent. But what she can say is, I don't think that's the issue. I don't know. I don't know if you can rise to what I'm saying. Of course she sinned. Of course you've sinned. That's not the issue. The issue is not that you've sinned. I know you have. I know I have. I know Israel has. The issue is not that we're unteachable. Of course I'm not. And of course you're not. And of course Israel's not. Of course, that's true. But that's not the issue. And the issue is not whether God is merciful. Of course he is. He's kind. He's merciful. He's forgiving. The issue is that God may be working out his purposes right now. And now he's going to bring Israel back in. Remember, a blindness was put on her for the sake of the Gentiles. Now all of a sudden, the Gentiles will be filled up. It's even happening right now as we're speaking. They're coming in by thousands, no, millions. Every week, almost a million people are coming to Jesus Christ, not in America, but in India, in China, South America, Africa, all over this globe, pouring in, not through American evangelists either, through their own indigenous pastors. Everywhere it's happening. He's bringing in the harvest. The fullness of the Gentiles is coming in, coming out of the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Jewish people and everything. I believe that God is now about to fulfill his original purpose and intent, his plan to defeat the devil and to bring forth his glorious kingdom. And Israel is the heart, the apple of his eye. I believe he'll do it with those people that I know have sinned, and I know they're stubborn, and I know they're not teachable, and I know they don't fully know the mercy of God. Even so, I believe they can stand on their integrity and say, God, you made a promise to Abraham. You made a promise years ago. You got to keep it. I know we don't deserve it, but you got to keep it. This is not about my sin. It's not about your mercy. This is about your power. This is about your power. You are the Holy One. You are the Merciful One, but you're also the Mighty One. And you are going to do that which pleases you, and it pleases you to bless me. This is exciting to me. It's a very powerful, powerful, powerful message. I'm at the point of prophesying right now because this is so powerful what God is doing in the earth today. I believe it's Job. I believe what he's done for Job is just trust me. Just trust me. Don't question me. Don't understand it. You don't need to. I wrote it all down, but you can't get it. I mean, know that you just can't get it. You look at it and you just can't get it. You don't need to. Just know this, God is good. And Job, at the end of his life, at the end of the story, he says these words, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I've seen thee with the seeing of the eye. Do you know how good God is? Do you know how much his unconditional love toward you, how powerful it is? It's so powerful. It's so powerful. God loves you personally, not in general, personally, each one of you. If you could get a hold of that. Job, could you hold on to that? Don't worry about everything else. Don't answer all your questions. There aren't answers for all your questions. Forget it. Just know this, that God loves you without explanation. It's a very powerful story. I'm blessed. Anyone else blessed? Amen. Hallelujah. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. God is good. Depart in his peace. See you tonight.